Praise the Lord. I would not exchange that old rugged cross for anything in the world.
That's my non-favorite song.
Praise the Lord. It's a favorite of many, many Christians. It's one of my favorites. Take your Bibles with me, please. Turn with me to Philippians chapter 4. Philippians chapter 4. A couple weeks ago, I was going to preach this message, but the Lord led me down a different road. So today, I'd like to actually do it. I'd like to preach a message on peace this morning. Peace. Mankind today is seeking for one thing. It is man's foremost collective goal. The whole world is seeking for lasting peace and safety. However, if you will remember about world history, this is not the way things have always been. For centuries, all the way throughout the Dark Ages, the world desired one thing, a different one thing, and that was freedom. This longing for freedom probably began soon after the first tyrannical ruler, Nimrod, began his rule of the earth. Freedom has been man's highest goal from ancient history until modern times. That was the single most important ideal for the common man, freedom, until recently. Back then, it was a common opinion that wars may have to be fought to gain freedom, but that was okay if freedom was the result. But in the last 100 years, the focus has shifted away from freedom, and now the world wants something different, peace and safety. In fact, the world wants peace and safety so badly that they are willing to sacrifice, ironically, their freedom for safety. We will never again hear a politician make such a grand statement as, "Give me liberty or give me death." The morality in the world has degenerated so far that each man's life is more valuable to him than tens of thousands of other men's lives. Today, Patrick Henry's statement would have to be turned upside down into, "Give me my life above all cost to others." That is what we hear today. Peace at any cost. Peace and safety at the cost of freedom of assembly, at the cost of the freedom to worship God. Peace. Everyone wants peace. However, as Christians, we know that there is no real peace without God. You don't have to turn there, but Isaiah 48:22 says, "There is no peace, saith the Lord, unto the wicked." And 1 Thessalonians 5:3 says, "For when they shall say, peace and safety, then sudden destruction cometh upon them." But if true peace is found in God, and we know that it is, why do Christians sometimes go through times in their life without peace? If true peace is found in God, why do we as believers in God go through times in our lives where we do not have peace? So that's the reason why this morning I would like to preach this message on peace, to do a Bible study on peace. Where it comes from. Number one, where does peace come from? Number two, how to get it. Number three, why do I not always have it? Number four, how I can maintain peace in my life. And lastly, when I lose peace, how do I get it back in my life? Now please go with me to Philippians chapter 4. Excuse me. Philippians chapter 4. And look at verse 7. It says there, "And the peace of God, which passeth all understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. Finally, brethren, whatsoever things are true, whatsoever things are honest, whatsoever things are just, whatsoever things are pure, whatsoever things are lovely, whatsoever things are of good report, if there be any virtue and if there be any praise, think on these things." Then the Apostle Paul says, "Those things which ye have both learned and received and heard and seen in me, do. And the God of peace shall be with you." This last statement, he's saying those things, those good things, those scriptural things, those biblical things, which ye have both learned from me, which you have received from me, which you have heard from me and seen in me, do. But only the good things that he has taught them from God's word and from what God has given to him. He doesn't want them to follow what is would be in his sin nature. Follow those godly things which you have seen in me, the Apostle Paul says. Follow those godly things which you have heard from me and seen in me. And then he says, and if you do that, and the God of peace shall be with you. This morning, that's what I want for each one of us, is that the God of peace shall be with you and with me. Let's pray. Dear Lord Jesus, thank you for this message. I pray that you would help me to make it plain and clear to each one here today. Pray that the little ones would understand it and each one would gain a blessing from it. Lord, if there's one here today that does not know you as their Savior, I pray, Lord, that you would convict that one that they need to be saved today, that they need Jesus Christ to wash away their sins. Please bless this message. Hide me behind the cross, Lord, and help your Holy Spirit to do a work and an encouragement in each of our lives today. In Jesus' name, amen. First of all, we need to find out what is the biblical definition of peace. What is the definition of peace? There's three main definitions of peace, and then there's several sub-definitions. First of all, the first three main ones. In a general sense, peace is a state of quiet or tranquility. It is a freedom from disturbance or agitation. It is applicable to society, to individuals, or to the temper of the mind. That's the first definition of peace, the main definition of peace. Secondly, peace is a freedom from war. Freedom from war with a foreign nation. It is public quiet, national quiet. And that is the two definitions that you will find in a worldly dictionary. They don't include this other third biblical definition. And that is, peace is heavenly rest. In the Bible, peace can be called, can be defined as heavenly rest. It is the happiness of heaven. And these three are the main biblical definitions of the word peace in the Bible. Then there are some more sub-definitions, but they could all fall under the category of one of those first three. Peace is also freedom from internal commotion or civil war. Peace is also freedom from private quarrels, suits, or disturbance. Peace is freedom from agitation or disturbance by the passions, as from fear, terror, anger, anxiety, or the like. Peace is quietness of mind, tranquility, calmness, quiet of conscience. As the Bible says in Psalm 119, great peace have they which love thy law, and nothing shall offend them. Quiet of conscience. Peace is harmony, concord, a state of reconciliation between parties at variance. And lastly, it is public tranquility, the quiet order and security which is guaranteed by the laws, as in to keep the peace, to break the peace. So those are biblical definitions of peace, and as I said, they can all be, all of those could fall under the first three. So, where does peace come from? Where does a quiet of the mind come from? Where does tranquility come from? It says here in Philippians chapter 4, verse 7, and the peace of God, which passeth all understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. We need to understand, first and foremost, that peace comes directly from God. God is the author of peace. There is no peace without God. Peace belongs to God as righteousness belongs to God. He is the author of it. There is no peace without the Lord Jesus Christ. Turn to Psalm chapter 4 and verse 8. And I hope you have your fingers ready. We're going to be turning to many passages of Scripture this morning. Psalm chapter 4 and verse 8. God is the author of peace. Peace comes from God. Psalm 4:8, I will both lay me down in peace and sleep, For thou, Lord, only makest me dwell in safety. All safety comes from God. All peace comes only from God, this verse teaches. Turn forward to Psalm 29. Excuse me, Psalm 29. And verse 11. Psalm 29 and verse 11. It says, the Lord will give strength unto his people. The Lord will bless his people with peace. We do not get peace anywhere else. We do not get peace from some worldly ideal, some worldly, excuse me, some worldly philosophy or some worldly religion. The Bible says, the Lord is he who will bless his people with peace. Okay? And if you do not know the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior, then you will never have peace in your heart. Peace only comes from the Lord Jesus Christ, and he only gives it to his children. You will not have peace if you do not know the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior. One final passage on this one. Romans chapter 14. Romans chapter 14. And verse 17. Romans 14, 17. It says, for the kingdom of God is not meat and drink, but righteousness and peace and joy in the Holy Ghost. This is why I explained that peace belongs to God as righteousness belongs to God. There is no peace outside of Jesus Christ. If you were to find God, you will find these three things: righteousness, peace, and joy. If you find God, you will always find these three things. If you find the kingdom of God, you will also find these three things. Always. Righteousness, peace, and joy. Peace belongs to God. It is his. It is his to do with as he pleases. The Lord will give strength unto his people. The Lord will bless his people with peace. God is the author of peace. There is no peace from any other source. There is a peace that the world claims, but it is not inner peace. It is not true peace. At best, it is just a state of tranquility from war. There's a lack of war, so we have peace. That's the best that the world can offer. Now go back, please, to Philippians chapter 4. Philippians chapter 4. The world cannot give you inner peace in your heart. Only God can give you that peace. Philippians 4 again, verse 7. It says, and the peace of God. And here I got ahead of myself a little bit. It said the statement, the peace of God, implies that there is another, quote unquote, peace somewhere. But it is not God's peace. There are many philosophies and religions today that claim they are peaceful. They are peace-loving. If you embrace this philosophy or this religion, you will find peace. You know, Buddhism, Taoism, Hinduism, they all are going after this state of, well, in Hinduism it is nirvana. In Buddhism it's something else. But anyway, they're going after this state of peace. They claim to have peace. But yet they deny the Lord Jesus Christ as the Christ of God. And so because peace belongs only to God, there is no peace in those philosophies, those religions, when they deny the God of peace. James 4:4 says, ye adulterers and adulteresses, know ye not that the friendship of the world is enmity with God? Whosoever therefore will be a friend of the world is the enemy of God. In other words, applying that verse to peace, to embrace a worldly philosophy, a worldly religion that denies God, such as humanism, to embrace such a philosophy is to embrace friendship with the world and to also accept enmity with God. If I accept humanism and the fact that humanity is the ideal, and we can all be good people, yet I am rejecting the Lord Jesus Christ. I am rejecting true peace found in God, and I am rejecting and I am accepting to be an enemy of God. So how can a person be at peace within their conscience? How can a person be at peace in their conscience while they are in a war between themselves and God? If I accept a philosophy that denies God, yet I claim that this philosophy is a peaceful philosophy, I am now at war with God because I have accepted enmity with God. How can I have peace in my soul in such a case? The answer is there is no peace there. In all actuality, there's no true peace at all. True peace only comes from God, only comes from accepting what the Bible says about God. It only comes from believing Jesus Christ and accepting the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior. Peace belongs to God. He will give it to whom He will, and He will only give it to His children. So, how can I have God's peace? Well, obviously, number one, become a child of God. If you're not saved, you will never have God's peace. I've already said that. But how can I, as a child of God, have God's peace? Turn to Psalm 119. When I get saved, does He automatically give me peace? Well, He does give me peace between Him and me, between my soul and the Savior. But when I got saved, all sin did not evaporate out of my life. So in that sense, there was still some things that were not the way God wanted them to be in my life. So in that sense, there was not yet total peace in my soul. There was peace that I am saved. I am washed clean by the blood of the Lamb. But yet I still have to work out my own salvation, right? How, as a new believer, or as an old believer, how can I have God's peace? Psalm 119, verse 165. Start right here. Psalm 119, verse 165. Great peace have they which love thy law, and nothing shall offend them. Start by learning to love the Bible. Great peace have they which love thy law, and nothing shall offend them. If you learn to love the Bible, God will give you His peace. Turn to Proverbs chapter 3, verse 1. Proverbs chapter 3. Proverbs 3, 1 and 2. My son, forget not my law. You can take this as God speaking about His law, not just Solomon talking about his rules for his boys. This is God talking to you and I. My son, forget not my law, but let thine heart keep my commandments for length of days and long life, and peace shall they add to thee. Do you want to have God's peace? Learn to love God's word. Learn to love God's word. Secondly, how can I have God's peace? Number one, love the Bible. Number two, turn to Isaiah. Isaiah 26. I want God's peace in my life. How can I have it? Love the Bible. And number two, keep your mind on God. Keep your mind on God. Isaiah 26, verse 3. It says, Thou wilt keep him in perfect peace, whose mind is stayed on Thee, because he trusteth in Thee. Do you want to have peace in your life? Keep your mind on God. Keep your mind on the Lord Jesus Christ. If you keep your focus on the Lord, you will have peace. How can I have God's peace? Love the Bible. Keep your mind on God. Joshua 1, 8 and 9. This book of the law shall not depart out of thy mouth, but thou shalt meditate therein day and night, that thou mayest observe to do according to all that is written therein. Notice the word peace does not come in these verses, by the way. The word peace doesn't appear, but the idea of peace is right here. For then thou shalt make thy way prosperous, and then thou shalt have good success. Have not I commanded thee? Be strong and of a good courage. Be not afraid, neither be thou dismayed, for the Lord thy God is with thee whithersoever thou goest. Keep your mind on God. Thou wilt keep him in perfect peace, whose mind is stayed on thee. How can I have God's peace? Love the Bible, keep your mind on God, and thirdly, turn to Proverbs chapter 16. Proverbs 16. If you want to have God's peace in your life, you and I are going to need to learn to love righteousness and live righteousness. Proverbs 16:7. When a man's ways please the Lord, he maketh even his enemies to be at peace with him. Do you want to have peace in your life? Learn to love righteousness. Learn to live righteously, and God will give you peace. Psalm 37:37, you don't have to turn there. Psalm 37:37, mark the perfect man. In other words, mark him out. Look at him. Mark the perfect man, and behold the upright, for the end of that man is peace. The end of that man is peace. The upright man, the just man, the righteous man. If you want God's peace in your life, love the Bible. Keep your mind on God and love righteousness and live it. Depart from evil and do good. Seek peace and pursue it. Psalm 34:14. That's how I can have God's peace. That's the type of person, the type of Christian, I should say, that God gives his peace to. One who loves the Bible, one who keeps his mind on God, and one who loves righteousness and lives it. Thirdly, why do I not always have God's peace? I'm a Christian. Peace is from God. He is the author of peace. Why do I not always have God's peace? Well, there's several reasons. And this is like the million-dollar question in Christianity today. Why do I not have peace in my heart and my soul? I'm a believer. Yet why is there no peace? If you can answer that every time that question arises, praise God. You will have God's peace if you know the answer to that. If you can figure out the answer to that, praise God. And these are one, two, three, four, basically five. There are five reasons why I may not have God's peace in my life. And I need to figure out which one of those five it is when I wonder, why do I not have peace? First of all, simply, God may not want me to have peace in my life right now. God may not want me to have peace in my life. The Bible says there is a time for everything, even spiritual battle. Ecclesiastes 3:8, a time to love, a time to hate, a time of war, and a time of peace. God may be having me in a time where I have to fight a spiritual battle. God may not want me to have peace. That's the first one. Jesus said in Matthew 10:34, think not that I am come to send peace on earth. I came not to send peace, but a sword. Do I not have peace in my life? It may be it's not time to have peace in my life. It may be that there is a battle I need to fight in my life. You see, God uses spiritual warfare in our lives to create his champions of the faith. Turn to Isaiah 45. Isaiah 45. God uses conflict in my soul to create character and godly faith in me. God may not want me to have peace because he wants to build my faith. God uses spiritual warfare to create his champions of the faith. Isaiah 45 and verse 7. I form the light and create darkness. I make peace, God says, and create evil. I, the Lord, do all these things. If there's not peace in your soul today, it may be God is not allowing there to be. God says, I create the times in your life where there is no peace. It may be there's a battle you need to fight. It may be there's a battle that I need to fight. God uses turmoil in our hearts also to build endurance. To build endurance in his believers. Turn to Jeremiah chapter 12. Jeremiah chapter 12 and verse 5. God uses turmoil, struggle, to build endurance in my faith. Jeremiah 12:5. If thou hast run with the footmen, and they have wearied thee, then how canst thou contend with horses? God says there's going to be a bigger fight tomorrow. If you got tired in this fight, how are you going to win the next one that is bigger? If they have wearied thee, the footmen, then how canst thou contend or run with horses? And then he says, and if in the land of peace, wherein thou trustedst, they wearied thee, if your faith got damaged when it was a time of peace, somebody hurt me, or somebody did me wrong, and I'm going to blame it on God. It was a time of peace, but my faith got damaged. Then how wilt thou do in the swelling of Jordan? God uses turmoil to build endurance in our faith. God uses battles to strengthen our faith so that we will be able to win the next one. Because Satan is not going to send a smaller battle the next time. He lost the last one, Lord willing. He's not going to send a smaller one next time. Every battle is going to grow. Satan will send harder and harder things into our lives. God uses these things to prepare us for the next battle. If thou hast run with the footmen and they have wearied thee, then how canst thou contend with horses? Secondly, why do I not have peace in my life? It could be that God does not want there to be peace. It could be there is a battle that needs to be fought. Or second reason, it could be that I may have removed peace from my own life. It may be that I am responsible for the turmoil in my life. How? By my own foolishness or by my own sin? Turn to Psalm 85. Psalm 85. Psalm 85, verse 8. I will hear what God the Lord will speak, for he will speak peace unto his people and to his saints. It says God is going to grant his people, his saints, peace. But notice the last phrase. But let them not turn again to folly. Why? Because God can give us peace, and if we are foolish, there's no hope for the foolish. There's no peace for the foolish man. God can lead a horse to water, you and I to water, but if we are foolish, there's no hope for that horse. If we turn away from the water, from peace, then God is going to let us not have peace. We have a free will. I may have removed peace from my life by my own foolishness. Proverbs 18:7 says, a fool's mouth is his destruction, and his lips are the snare of his soul. You know, if somebody had inherited a whole bunch of money, say $200,000, that's enough to go buy a nice house. They inherit $200,000. But then they think, man, I have the opportunity to go buy my dream boat. I'm renting this apartment, but I can have a dream boat. And so they do. And a month later, they discover that they have an apartment bill due. And they don't have the money. Was it God's fault? No. God gave them peace. They had the opportunity to go buy their own house. But because of their foolishness, they ruined it. They ruined God's peace in their life. I may have removed God's peace from my life by my own foolish behavior. Or by my sin. Sin will always take away my peace. Your peace. Sin always removes peace. Psalm chapter 7. Psalm chapter 7. Why do I not have peace in my life? Could be that you sinned. It could be that you have done wrong. If we do wrong, we will not have peace. It's a biblical principle. Psalm 7:4. Return, O Lord. That's not Psalm 7:4. That's Psalm 6:4. Psalm 7:4. If I have rewarded evil unto him that was at peace with me, skip down to verse 5, let the enemy persecute my soul. You know, if I sin against my neighbor, there was nothing wrong with between me and my neighbor. He was a good friend of mine. I was a good neighbor to him. But then for no reason at all, I sin against him. Do you think there is peace now between him and me? No. There is no peace. I have removed peace by my sin. I can also remove peace by not doing what I knew I should do. It's a sin of omission, not a sin of commission. I didn't do anything. I did not do something I should have done. I can sin. I can remove peace from my life by a sin of omission. Psalm 39, verse 2. You say, Lord, why don't I have peace in my life? Well, maybe it's because you're not on the mission field, and God called you to the mission field 5 years ago, and you didn't obey. Guess what? There will be no peace in your life. God had a plan, and you said no. It was a sin of omission. I didn't do what I knew I should have done. Psalm 39, verse 2. I was dumb with silence. I held my peace even from good, and my sorrow was stirred. I held my peace. In other words, I kept it to myself. I sat there on my chair. I didn't do anything, even good. I didn't do the good that I knew I should have done. And what happened? My sorrow was stirred. I didn't have peace in my soul after that. I can remove peace from my life by sinning a sin of omission or by a sin of commission. James 4:17, more plainly stated, therefore to him that knoweth to do good and doeth it not, to him it is sin. To him it is sin. I may have removed peace by not doing what I knew I should have done. I may have removed peace from my life by foolishness and sins of action. I may not have peace in my life because God doesn't want me to have peace in my life right now. There's a battle to be fought. Fourthly, the fourth reason why I may not have that it could be that I don't have peace in my life. God may be trying to grow me. And this we all need to get, by the way. This is important. God may be trying to grow me spiritually, but I am resisting. It may be there is no peace in my life because God wants me to grow spiritually and I won't budge. That will remove peace from my life. Turn to Hebrews chapter 12. Hebrews chapter 12 and verse 11. This isn't usually applied to peace, but there is a principle here. Hebrews 12:11. Now no chastening for the present seemeth to be joyous, but grievous. Nevertheless, afterward it yieldeth the peaceable fruit of righteousness unto them which are exercised thereby. What am I talking about by using this verse right here? No chastening for the present seemeth to be joyous, but grievous. Nevertheless, afterward it yieldeth the peaceable fruit of righteousness unto them which are exercised thereby. You see, if God is trying to grow me spiritually, grow my faith, or to get a sin out of my life, but I'm not budging, I'm refusing to budge when God is nudging me and pushing me, guess what? My refusal will bring chastening of some sort. Saying no to God, disobedience to God, brings chastening. Now, if I have always been this way, a certain way, and suddenly, and things have been fine for years, and all of a sudden it's not fine anymore, it can be hard to understand that God is finally trying to get something that was in my life for years. He's finally working on that area. It was fine. He was working on other areas for 20 years. For 20 years, sin B was in my life. He had a sin A that he was working on full time until I finally got that out of my life. Once sin A was out of my life, he moved on to sin B. But what? All of a sudden, this was in my life for 20 years. And now it's wrong? Well, no, it was wrong all that time, but he was working on something else. And all of a sudden, his attention now is on something that has been there all the time, and I thought was fine. You see, God is trying to grow my character out of the rut that I have been in for years. Let's say when I got saved, I had 100 problems, 100 sins in my life that God, that were displeasing to God. Okay, let's name the first five. This is an illustration. This is not the way it was. Okay, let's say that when I got saved, I was an adult and I was living with a woman who I was not married to. Let's say that I bought lottery tickets. Okay, that was one of the things I did. I buy lottery tickets. I drink booze, I smoke cigarettes, and I am the owner and proprietor of a mini-mart that sells liquor and cigarettes to other people. Those are the five biggest things in my life that's wrong, okay? Now, problem number 100, these are problem 1 through 5. Problem 100 is the fact that I'm impatient. Is impatience wrong? Yes, it is. Is impatience as big as these? No. Which ones do you think God is going to work on in my life first? These ones. Of these five, which ones do you think God is going to work on day one of my salvation? Get out of that house. You're living in sin. Okay? He's not going to work on problem 5, I buy lottery tickets on day one. He's going to work on, I'm living in sin. Get out of that house. He'll work on my lottery tickets some other day. One through four, before he gets to my lottery tickets, probably. Now, he may nudge me about my lottery ticket when I go and buy a lottery ticket. I'm sure he will. But that's not going to be the primary focus of the Lord's conviction in my soul on day one. The primary conviction is, get out of that house. Okay? So, problem 100, my impatience. It's way down the line. It's not as big as problems 1 through 5. It's still sin. So God is working on my life for 40 years, and I finally get 99 sins out of my life. After 40 years. On year 41, God finally starts hammering on problem 100. Derek, you're impatient. You have to have patience. It's a sin to be impatient. Wait a minute, God. This wasn't a problem before. Oh, yes, it was. I just didn't notice it. There were other problems that were much bigger. It may be that I don't realize, I never realized before today, that problem 100 was a problem. And finally, God is pointing it out that it's a sin. But if I don't budge on that point, God's going to bring chastening in my life, just as he did on all the other points. God may be trying to grow me spiritually, but I am resisting. It was fine for years. Why is it not fine now? Well, it wasn't fine for years, actually. There were just other problems that God was working on first. Turn to Mark chapter 9. Mark chapter 9. On this note, God may be trying to grow me, but I am resisting. Number two, point number two under this, is God may try to use other believers in my life to challenge me to grow spiritually. And if I am not willing to listen to my brother in Christ, guess what? There's going to be friction between me and my brother. And that friction will be a lack of peace between me and my brother. Mark chapter 9 and verse 50. Mark chapter 9 and verse 50. I'm getting to the bottom of my message. I'm out of time. Wow. The Bible says, salt is good, but if the salt have lost his saltness, wherewith will ye season it? Then he speaks to each one of us, have salt in yourselves, and have peace one with another. Now, picture a salt shaker. He's talking to, that last phrase, he's talking to a salt shaker full of salt. And he says, salt, all you grains of salt, all you believers, have peace one with another. Why did he say that? After talking about we need to be salt, and salt is good, and if salt has lost its saltness, wherewith will you season it? Have salt in yourselves. And then he says to that salt shaker, and have peace one with another. You know, I think it's because not every grain of salt has the same saltiness. Not every grain of salt is as salty as the next grain. And that salty grain may go to that unsalty grain and say, there's a problem here. You need to be a little bit more salty in this area. And God says, have peace one with another when that happens. Because if the unsalty piece of salt says, I don't want to change, then there's a problem. There's friction. Peace is gone. You see, iron sharpeneth iron, so a man sharpeneth the countenance of his friend. You and I, as a church body, we commune with one another, we try to sharpen each other spiritually. Iron sharpeneth iron. But if the piece of iron number one goes to the piece of iron number two and says, brother or sister, let's get sharp here. But iron number two says, I don't want to. I like the way I am. Thanks. I like my mediocreness. I like my lukewarm Christianity. I don't want to be any sharper than I am. Go away. Guess what? There's no peace there, is there? And whose fault is it, by the way? The salty Christian? Or the one that says, no, I'm not budging. I'm as good of a Christian as I want to be. The bottom line is this. I will not have peace as long as I am not obeying the Holy Spirit. That's the bottom line. No matter which one of these categories I may fall under, I will not have peace as long as I am not obeying the Holy Spirit. Why do I not have peace in my life? I'm not obeying God. Four, how can I maintain God's peace in my life? How can I maintain God's peace in my life? Turn to Jeremiah chapter 29 real quick. Jeremiah 29. The scripture says in verse 11, 29:11, for I know, God is speaking, for I know the thoughts that I think toward you, saith the Lord, thoughts of peace and not of evil, to give you an expected end. How can I maintain God's peace in my life? Well, God says, I have some thoughts for you. I have a plan for you to give you a peaceful, expected end. So how can I maintain God's peace? I should seek to know what God's thoughts are, shouldn't I? I should seek to know what God's plan is for me. I should seek to know what God wants for my life. Because if I follow what God wants for my life, He has a peaceful, expected end for me. If I would only follow it. So how can I maintain God's peace in my life? Diligently seek to know what God wants to change in your life. Where He wants you to go. What He wants you to do. What sin is He working on in me today? That's how I can maintain God's peace in my life. Secondly, how can I maintain God's peace in my life? Maintain righteousness. Maintain righteousness. We've already seen that God gives peace to a righteous believer. If I want to maintain God's peace in my life, then I will have to live righteously. You see, there is an inseparable relationship between righteousness and peace. Turn to Psalm 85, please. Psalm 85. You cannot separate righteousness from peace. If you try to do so, both fall apart, if you will. It can't be done, simply. You can't separate righteousness from peace. You can't have peace without righteousness. You can't have righteousness without peace. Psalm 85:10. Mercy and truth are met together. Righteousness and peace have kissed each other. There's the bond. They are inseparable. As mercy and truth are inseparable, righteousness and peace are inseparable. If I want to maintain God's peace in my life, I must maintain a righteous life. I am going to have to live righteously. Isaiah 32:17. On the subject of righteousness and peace are inseparable, the Bible says, and the work of righteousness shall be peace. That is what happens every time. Excuse me. When we do a work of righteousness, it is written in the scripture that the effect will be peace. It says, in the effect of righteousness, quietness and assurance forever. Guess what? That's another way of saying peace, isn't it? And the work of righteousness shall be peace, and the effect of righteousness, quietness and assurance forever. Peace. Righteousness and peace are inseparable. If I want to have to maintain God's peace in my life, I will have to maintain a righteous life, and I will need to diligently seek to know what God wants to change in my life every day. Lastly, last point, when I am in turmoil, when I do not have peace, how can I get it again? When I have lost my peace, how do I get it back? Turn back with me to Philippians chapter 4. Philippians chapter 4. The answer to that is embedded in this verse. It says, and the peace of God, which passeth all understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. If I have lost the peace of God, then guess who doesn't have my heart and mind anymore? If I have lost the peace of God, then guess who I have taken my heart and mind away from? The Lord Jesus Christ. How do I get God's peace back? You need to confess your sin of not allowing Jesus to keep your heart and mind, and you need to give it back to Him. Confess your sin of not allowing Jesus to keep your heart and mind, and give it back to Him. And secondly, you and I need to find and remove the sin spot out of my life, out of your life. Turn to 2 Peter. How do I get God's peace back again? Confess that you removed God's peace of your own volition, probably. Unless the one point is true, that God doesn't want you to have peace. That is the only reason now here that there isn't peace in my life. The only reason that isn't sin. All right? So probably it's because of sin, some way, somehow. If I want God's peace back again, I need to confess my sin. 2 Peter 3:14. Wherefore, beloved, seeing that ye look for such things, be diligent that ye may be found of him in peace. And how do we be found of him in peace? When we are without spot and blameless. Be found of him in peace, without spot and blameless. If I want to have God's peace back again, I'm going to have to find and remove that sin spot in my life that took it away. I'm going to have to confess my sin to the Lord Jesus. I'm going to have to keep a short account with my Savior if I want the peace of God to be in my life. Every head bowed and every eye closed, please. Lord Jesus, thank you for this message. Father, I pray that you would use it in every life here. Please continue to use it in my heart and my life. Father, please forgive me for failing you. Forgive me for removing your peace out of my life by my own actions. Lord, if there's one here today that doesn't know you as their Savior, please help them to make that decision for you today. In Jesus' name, amen. Every head bowed and every eye closed. Is there